Fall 2019. Chapter 1. I have been reading my books aloud to audiences, and signing copies, and shaking hands, and making small talk for most of my life. I have never been able to figure out why I get so nervous sometimes, jumpy and clammy and hand-shaking, and other times, not nervous at all. At those times, I feel comfy and relaxed, like every single person staring at me is a kind and kindred soul who wishes me nothing but the best. But this was one of the nervous times. Sometimes I wonder if my past catches up with me in a funny sort of way. I think about where I came from, the distance I've traveled in life, and the distance feels so far that I need to remind myself that it's real. I came from a place where dreams were small. Not small because folks lacked the courage or the vision to dream bigger, but because small dreams were a great pleasure, a gentle way to approach a life of contentment. The people directly across the street from Mom and me lived in a tiny little house. I had no brothers or sisters and no father from the time I was 5. I watched the Kimballs' comings and goings from our windows. They were my model of everything a family was supposed to be. As a family of 5, they crawled all over one another, just going about the business of living their lives in their little home. They made giant bowls of popcorn and watched TV together. They whipped up batches of frosting for no special reason and made them into sandwiches with graham crackers. They had loud arguments. They laughed all the time. The 2 older children were already teenagers when the family was able to afford their first dishwasher. They rang our doorbell to tell us the news. They invited Mom and me over to see it, and they offered us frosting sandwiches. They, the Kimball family, walked on air, such was the level of their glee. Before that reading, I found myself thinking about the Kimball family, smiling at the thought of their graham crackers bookending a thick slab of pink frosting. Perhaps it's not the past that catches up with me, but rather the other way around. Perhaps I get so lost in the past that it's the present that takes me by surprise. I parked right in front of the old Irish pub where the reading was scheduled. I had gotten there plenty early. I always got to the reading locations early. I would check out the room, feel the feel of it for a while. Rooms hold their histories, their stories, if you take the time to pay attention, look around, and listen to the walls. Some rooms hold on to their stories. These rooms are grim and tight-fisted and fearful that their tales, their precious histories, will be stolen from them, and they will be left with nothing. Other rooms are dying to tell you about their pasts. It leaks out everywhere. The place where broken paneling reveals the tattered stuffing within the walls, where a chair toppled during a drunken argument. The chip on a faded picture frame of an equally faded painting holds the memory of an exuberant toast given during a bachelorette party, though the marriage was fraught with deception from well before the wedding itself. The exact places where much varnished wood has been rubbed raw by a bartender who polishes endlessly when conversations sadden him past the point of endurance. He sidles along the bar, moving away from the words. He rubs and he rubs. This was a friendly room, old, even tired, but welcoming. A room that stretched out its hand and let you know it was pleased that you had come. Nonetheless, I was nervous before that reading. I ordered a glass of red wine from the server and was thrilled that it was such a generous pour. Clutching my wine tankard as if it were a lifeline, I sat down at a table near the far back of the lengthy, narrowish room to look over the passage I would be reading.